Principles of Bible Study. We're going to put a slide up here that Christy developed for this class and for this series. The new Sunday School series starting today on Principles for Studying God's Word. This is meant to give us practical tools, and next week I'm going to try to get you some app suggestions. By the way, today, please forgive me, but you're really not going to need your Bible. I'm going to use this sheet, and I put all the scriptures. I'm not trying to take you from your Bible. If you'd rather open your Bible, go ahead. And here, this is going to sound like a sin. You already saw about turning off your phones, but if you have a phone with a Bible app on it, you feel free to get it out, because I'm going to be asking for some definitions, and that's a little bit about some of the practical tools. We're going to be very short on that the weeks we talk about practical tools, because it's not going to involve everyone. So I'm never going to have a Sunday school that all day long is going to be talking about apps and computer programs and things like that, because you're going to feel like checking out, and this was a waste for me to be here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so once in a while, maybe a 3 to 5 minute clip, hey, there are these apps available for you. And now let's get back to our ongoing Sunday school lesson. So we're going to give practical tools and ideas for learning God's Word. And today we're going to look at this sheet, both sides of it, and actually try to give out a little bit of homework. Do you love that word?
Yeah.
How many, say the word with me, homework.
Homework.
Yeah, let's get over the fear of it. Some of you say, I already graduated, I don't want homework anymore. Well, then it's a growth project, okay? It's not homework, it's a growth project for you. And but there are some things I would like us to study and to look into. Last Sunday I was preaching, and I was giving, you know, no word. If you don't, no Bible, no breakfast. You remember that? Someone came up with no word, no world. I like that. If I'm not getting into God's Word, then I'm not going to get involved in anything that has to do with this world. I came up with a brilliant one. No faith book, no Facebook, okay? So if you don't get in the Bible, you're not allowed to get on your Facebook account, okay? And the problem is we're not growing, because we're spending more time in the newspaper, more time watching television, more time eating than we are getting into the Word of God. And so I want to really encourage you to really say, you know what? If I can't get into the Word of God, then I shouldn't be turning my television on. I shouldn't be listening to the news. I shouldn't be watching the weather. I shouldn't be, you know, watching my favorite program if I'm not reading my Bible. I shouldn't be eating. As Job says, it's more than my necessary food. We're going to be looking at that. And so, again, we want to get into the Word of God, and we're going to see, we're going to start next week with He even gives understanding under the simple. And we're going to learn next week how that can happen and why, before we proceed further with Luke 2. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our Sunday school lesson. Dear Father, help us now to grow, to know Your Son better, and to know Your Word better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there are some typical ways we refer to our time spent with the Lord on a daily basis. What's one of them you've heard of, or you say, I have my whatever it is? What's one way we reference our time with the Lord? Devotion. That's one of the most popular ways. Tim Thompson hates that, so don't tell him you have your devotions. He hates that word for some reason. I actually like it, and it has the idea of you're devoting this time to you and your relationship with the Lord. But some don't call it devotions. What else is it called, Brother Gene? Your quiet time. That means shutting everything else off and just spending some time with the Lord. What's another way to, Brother David? Fellowship, your fellowship time with the Lord. Brother Andy? Yeah, your personal time with the Lord. Some would call it a God and I time. And that's what, when I went to the Wilds and was on weekend staff there, they would have God and I time. And that was scheduled each morning. They'd have a God and I book that you can work through. Is there any others? We kind of hit the basics of it. And what we're saying is every day we ought to be having some time when we get together with the Lord and try to learn from His Word. And I have here something that I think is an outstanding quote, is being related is different than having a relationship. And the author of that quote is K.A. Schweitzer, some famous preacher along the way, K.A. Schweitzer. You know what? It's different to have be in a relationship and really have fellowship. Or being related and being in a relationship. You can be related to someone and have no relationship with them. So what we're emphasizing here is the relationship. And in verse 10, but for the sake of time, we're looking at verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So he says, I have esteemed. Somebody with a Bible app, do you have an ability to pull up a definition there? What's the definition for esteemed? Again, I'm going to suggest some Bible apps for your tablets and your smartphones in the coming week. Does anybody have a definition there for me? Again, we're in Job chapter 23, and we're going to look at this verse briefly. What, and everybody else, while look at this verse, what do you get out of this verse? What is Job saying here? Well, the people fast with their thumbs. I think we're developing a generation with the fastest thumbs in the world. Their brains are slow, but their thumbs are fast. But anyway, somebody, yes, Miss Lois. Yeah, she's saying, Job is saying, this has become the most important thing to me. Somebody else, what is this verse saying to you, or Virginia? Okay, so it's value. It's got a estimated, a high value. It's got an accounted worth. Someone else, do you have anything else to add to that definition? Brian? Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. It says to hide. Now think about that. The word esteemed means to hide. Thy word have I... By the way, same word. Exact same Hebrew word. So, wait a second, how do we get hide out of that? Think, let's meditate a little bit. Why is the word hide estimated to hide? I have hid. What do we mean when we hide God's Word in our heart? Brother John. Okay, to memorize it. So we're not putting it somewhere that we can't find it. We're actually putting it somewhere that we can find. But again, why do we use the word hide, Becky?
Well, my thought would be that we use time to what we think is very
valuable. And so we're hiding that in our heart. Yeah, okay. So the idea is, since it's highly valuable, we're going to hide it in our heart. We're going to put it there so we can remember it. Virginia? Yeah, we want to make application in our lives, and that's a big part of what this Sunday school is going to boil down to. Also, you hide that which is valuable, and the word means to be valued. So he values it. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but what's man to live by? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what is Job saying? Similar to what Christ would later on say. God's word should be the most important thing to me. Look at what Jeremiah says. Something somewhat similar. The words were found, by the way, those with an app, again, go to Jeremiah 15:16, because the words were found and I did eat them. Wait, we're hiding God's word? We're eating God's word? And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So Jeremiah is saying, wow, thy word was found, I ate it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I trust that you, somewhere within this past week, from Sunday to Saturday, got some joy and rejoicing out of God's Word. I hope you found something that, and you ate it, you devoured it, and you enjoyed it. Karen and I were recently talking about, it was more than Karen. I think we were talking about a supper table. She said, "You ever just keep the most favorite thing you're eating to be the last bite?" You know, and I was eating, and I had a mixture of sweet potatoes and carrots, and they were so cooked that I couldn't tell the difference. They you know, both orange and both, you know, in the state in which they were. And I thought I left a bite of sweet potato for last, and I bit into it, and it was a carrot. Man, how disappointing that was. So I realized I'd do exactly what Karen does. So you know what? We want to get into God's Word and find it the delight, the rejoicing of our heart. So what does the word "found" mean? Somebody with a Bible app, you have the ability on your phones, on your tablets, to almost instantaneously bring up a wealth of knowledge. And who has a definition for the word "found"? Anyone? No one? Brian, welcome back. Okay, to come forth and appear. Have you ever been reading a verse you've read many, and all of a sudden it's like something appeared like you've never seen it before? Why does that happen? There are several reasons. There's not just one right answer to that. Why does that happen? Why do you read a familiar verse and all of a sudden it jumps off the page at you? It's like it's emboldened. It's like it's underlined. Why does that happen? Mom. Okay, the Holy Spirit has it right there. That's one answer, and that answer is correct. The Holy Spirit knows you need that. What's another reason? Brother Bob. Okay, you're at an age that you could say that, aren't you, Brother Bob? Yeah, well, we may have seen it before, but we don't remember seeing it before, and we just forgot a wonderful truth. Lynn. Yeah, it's a different. Yeah, you may not have needed that a year ago, or the circumstances in your life have all shuffled around, and all of a sudden that now is needed, and it stands out to you. Maybe a promise, maybe a command, and all of a sudden with what you're struggling with or what you're going through, and it may be a time of rejoicing, and now all of a sudden you're seeing it in a positive light when you saw it in a negative light before. And so sometimes it's just the circumstances of life. Let me add one more. Sometimes you're just more focused and you're thinking more and you're just more alert. Maybe the last time you read it, you kind of went into autopilot a little bit. So they were found. All of a sudden they were discovered. They came forth. You're made aware of. And I did eat them. What does that mean? What is he saying? Even if you don't have a dictionary, you can help me, I think, with this one. What does he mean? I did eat them. Are you actually picking up your Bible and chewing on the corners? What is it saying? We're taking it in. Brother Bob. Yeah, make it good. That's really good. Making it a part of us. Someone else. Yes, Ms. Lewis. Okay. Good. We're nourished, being nourished by it. The word also means to devour. It means to feed on. And I thought about, you know, some things we devour quickly and other things we feed on over a period of time, like a whole packet of Oreos. We feed on over time. We graze on them for the whole afternoon. Well, you know what? Sometimes you're in the Word and you just devour it. You've got a few minutes and you get right into it. Other times you meditate on it all the day long. We're to talk about that next week. There's a verse that talks about meditation all the day long. And so that's the idea found there. Now, look here at 1 John chapter 2. Two great verses. It talks about the unction and the anointing, the exact same Greek word. We're now in the New Testament, so it's not Hebrew or Aramaic. There's a few Aramaic passages like Daniel. In the New Testament, it's a different language. It was written originally in the Greek. The same Greek word for unction in verse 20 is the word anointing in verse 27. And so what I did is underline them, and I drew a line connecting them. I underline them in the same color or box them in the same color. That way I know it's the same Greek word or same Hebrew word. What is the anointing or what is the unction? Or may I use instead of what, who? Who is it? It's the Holy Spirit. So let's look here at verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Look at verse 27. But the anointing, what the unction, which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. You don't need me to teach you. You aren't at a place in your life where if you didn't come to church, you couldn't learn the Bible. Every one of us who are born again now have the ability to understand the Bible because we have the Holy Spirit in us. He knows everything about the Bible because He's the one. He is part of the inspiration process. I'll probably teach you some of that in week 3. Next week is on illumination. The following week is on inspiration. So He knows. He knows you. He knows God's Word. And just like Mom had said earlier, so He knows what you need out of God's Word. So you don't need me to teach you. Now the Bible is not saying then, so don't go to church. No, the Bible teaches us we ought to be going to church. We ought to be hearing the Word. I'm getting to that verse. Next. I'll get there next. We're going to get to that. We ought to be in church. We ought to be hearing the preaching and teaching. But you don't have to have that to know the Bible. What you need to have is the Holy Spirit. As long as you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And look what it says in verse 27. The anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So He's saying just as much as He's teaching you, you're going to be able to abide in Him. So through Him teaching you, you can abide in Him. What a wonderful verse. It can take a lot of time to explain it, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. But the principle I wanted to bring across was this. The Holy Spirit can help you to understand the Word of God. You don't need a college education. You don't even need to have to graduate from high school. You don't even have to know how to read. The Holy Spirit can teach you truths from the Word of God. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Now, let's look at Paul's instruction to Timothy. I love these verses from a passage that is a key passage for me and my life and ministry. By the way, back to verse 27. The same anointing teaches you of all things. That means from or out of all things. So think of this. The Holy Spirit knows this entire book. And He can teach you whatever He needs to teach you out of this. You say, why ever know it all? Yeah, if you do, tell me. Because then I want to learn from you. I don't know it all. I'm learning something new every day. I don't think you'll ever know it all. But He can teach you out of it all. And there's some parts that are hard to be understood. That's talked about in here. Sometimes we're dull of hearing, so we're not able to understand as clearly. That's taught in here. Let's look here at 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to what? First, reading to, and to, that is reading, preaching, and teaching. So, till Paul comes back to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to give attention to these things. To reading, to preaching, and to teaching. And so again, that's why I think we ought to be in church services as much as we can. We ought to be bringing our children up on the Word. we can get our children so involved in activities and going camping and doing this and that that we miss what is really important. This is more important than our necessary food. Paul says, I want you to give attention to this. Look at verse 15. I love this verse. Meditate upon these things. Okay, the things you've read, heard preached, heard taught. Meditate on them. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Somebody, tell me something you learned from that verse there. Verse 15. Meditate upon them. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. What do you learn from that verse? Virginia. Okay. Somebody said about application. Was that John, Virginia, earlier? Application and applying it, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. Good. Somebody else. What do you get out of that verse? Seth. Oh, good, good. So that's the definition of the word profiting. So we progress, we make progress, so that your progress, your growth, good, excellent. I'm glad he added that. That your growth, may so people will see that you're growing. That's great. Somebody else. Brother Andy. Okay, good. Yeah, we're benefiting from it. And then others benefit by our benefiting. Do you get that out of that? We ought to benefit so much so that others will benefit by our benefiting from the Word of God. Lynn. You have to work at this. If you're expecting to just open your Bible and start reading and just lackadaisically read through and get something, you're mistaken. He says, I want you to give yourself to it. I want you to meditate on this. So it might be, you say, I'm reading the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Well, what are you putting into it? Same thing. Sorry, but for the hunting guys, some guys say, well, I never get a deer. Well, they go out about 9:30 in the morning with a cup of coffee in their hand. And, they didn't do any scouting. They didn't shoot their gun in ahead. You know, so if you went out there, didn't shoot your gun in ahead, didn't scout, go out there late and take a cup of coffee and so forth and go out, you're probably not going to get anything. Why is that? Because you aren't putting much into it. You're just approaching this way too casually. Maybe that happens to women on the sales day at Walmart or something. I don't know. Sorry, ladies. I don't cross over too well at knowing how to apply it that way. What do you all give yourselves wholly to? I don't know. I hate to go back to shopping all the time. It's not true of all of you, but it is of some of you. But you got to put yourself into it. You got to give yourself to it. Look at the next verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. By the way, study is the same idea of dedication or devotion. That's why I still like that word devotion. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. I'm going to talk about this next week. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Is that it? No, that's not it here. That's James. I skipped to. As newborn babes, you need to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I've got a couple minutes. Look here at Psalm 119. I'm giving you a stanza plus a verse. There are, I think, 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. They're 8 verses long. The stanza opens with verse 97. The next stanza opens with verse 105. In that stanza, what is the main thought being communicated? Something you're going to see repeatedly. So look at those verses, starting with verse 97 There's going to be something come out several times in this stanza. What is it? What's that?
Understanding.
Understanding. Brother Chris, was that you? Yep. Okay. Brother Chris brought out the word understanding. You may want a pen or something to mark this if you want to. Where do you see that all in this? Where's the first time you see that? Okay, verse 99, I have here marked, I have more understanding. You can have more understanding than all your teachers. Wow, how do I have more understanding? Well, it's by getting into the Word of God. Where's the next time it's found? Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, those who have been through a lot of life. By the way, there's a difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Somewhere along this series, I'll probably give that again to you. This is bordering more along the lines of wisdom, though, the ability to apply that which we know. It's not saying I've got more intelligence than all my teachers and more, I'm smarter than everyone that's older than I am. No, I've got more understanding. I know how to handle it. I know what to do with it. Where's the next time it's found? Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So three times, but wait a second, that's not it. There's a fourth one, just worded differently. Where do you find that? Becky? Yeah, verse number 98. Through thy commandments, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser, made me wiser. So I can be made wiser than mine enemies. I can have more understanding than my teachers. I can have more understanding than those that are older than me. Listen up, teens. I can know more than my parents. Oh, they already think they know more than their parents. That's right. I can get understanding through His precepts. So again, getting into God's Word. You know what? Some think, well, I want to really stay up to date. I want to stay on top of the tech world. I want to stay on top of the news. You'd be better off to stay on top of God's Word and get more out of God's Word. It's going to help you more than listening to the news, watching television programs, being a YouTuber or whatever else it is. You can get more out of getting into the Word of God. Look at verses 101 and 102. I find an interesting comparison. What do you see there in the comparing of verses 101 and 102? Miss Ruth? Okay. There again is the application. Great. What else? There's an idea kind of repeated in both verses, but a little bit differently. Who has the answer? Virginia? Okay, obedience. Someone else? Seth? Was there somebody over here? Brian? Yeah, if you ever, God's Word will keep you from sin and sin will keep you from God's Word. Have you ever heard that? Well, there's a great where we can get that from. I have refrained. I have not departed. So I did depart from something, but I haven't departed from something else. That's the interesting comparison. Everything said here regarding these verses were exactly correct. And he's, you know what? In order to grow, we've got to refrain ourselves from some things. And then don't depart from God's Word. So depart from, there are some things in every one of our lives we ought to be departing from. 2020. Let's recognize, boy, there's something in my life. I need to depart from this. Let's depart from it. And then let's also not depart from God's Word. Kind of like Joshua 1:8. That God's Word shall not depart from thy mouth. Again, that almost sounds strange, but the idea is I'm never going to stop talking about God's Word. Now, let's flip the, no, let's not flip the script yet. Have you ever heard of the Luke 2 passage referred to as the what story? The Christmas story. I hate that. I'm sorry, I hate that. This isn't the Christmas story. Look what it says here, the very last verse here, Matthew chapter 1. This is the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't lose that. This isn't the Christmas story. This is the story of the birth of Christ. You say, you're nitpicking. Thank you for recognizing that. I am. But it does annoy me. So let's turn over to the story of the birth of Christ. Do you really know what you know? Is the question that I have for you. How many of you would say, you know what, I know the story of the birth of Christ? This is not a trick question, but how many of you, you know the story of the birth? I would put my hand up. How many of you would say, I know the story of the birth of Christ? Okay, some of you could nearly quote this. We went with Brother Bob and Barbara and their daughter the other week to a cappella sing, and the guy quoted it, right, Brother Bob? I think he quoted Luke 2. And as he was doing it, I was trying to guess in my mind, okay, what's the next verse? A couple times I got it right, a couple times I got it wrong. You know, you get fairly familiar with it. But I found in this, there's a lot of things I don't know. Do you find anything in this story you don't know about? Just be honest. Start looking at this story, Luke chapter 2. Is there anything there, if I would ask you, do you know who that is, where that is, what that is, how far that is, would you be able to answer? What is something in there you don't know? You just going to be honest, I don't know this. All right? Where Syria would be located. Okay. Governor of Syria. I'm not sure where Syria is located. Okay. Somebody else. Brother Donnie. Okay. How big is the world at this time? Okay. Somebody else. What's else? Something else. I have in verses 1 through 8 a lot of things I don't really know. From there on, there is only two things basically that I'm not positive about. But in the first 8 verses, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 things that I could almost guarantee at least half of you don't know. So what's some more of them? Brother Andy. Okay, how far were the shepherds away? What shepherds were they? Keeping watch, what were they doing? How do you keep watch over sheep by night? Brother David.
You said that the sheep they were watching were sacrificial lambs. Where did you get that?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know? That would blow your mind if I told you where I learned that. You don't want, he doesn't want his mind blown. Do you know I learned that from a lady? Praise the Lord. There's a lot we can learn from a lady. Now, what's her name? And it's not that lady. What is that one lady that's trying to preach all over the place? It's not Joyce Meyer. It's not her. I didn't learn it from her, okay? I didn't learn it from Joyce. Yeah, some things when you get old, when you get my age, you're going to forget some things. When I remember, I'll tell you. She's the one that got married later in life. Nancy Lee DeMoss. She has some excellent foundational information that she has written on giving some of the details to the birth of Christ. And I'm not ashamed to say I learned some things from her. And that was interesting. Anyway, what's something else in here you don't know? Brother Brent, I caught you, so I'm not sure if you're bringing up.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of an outdoors guy. So I wonder how the layout
Okay, good, good. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to try to get some volunteers to, over the next week, try to come back with some information for us. I really like two volunteers for each thing that I bring up. And so that's going to be about 30-some of us, 40 of us getting involved. Now, you're going to have to say, okay, I'm willing to just look. I mean, how many of you, honestly, if I were to ask you, give me five facts about Caesar Augustus, how many of you could give me five facts about Caesar Augustus? So, okay, you're all wide open for this. You all need this. Who's two people would volunteer to do a little research on who this Caesar Augustus is? All right, I got Sonia and I've got Peggy. So I've got two volunteers for that. And I want to know from them next week. We're going to learn from that. And you can't skip Sunday school next week. If you fail to do your homework, Peggy, you have to come no matter what. And you have to admit to us, I'm just kidding you, if you have to miss next week. Who knows about the taxing? Who would be willing to, man, they made a decree. That's an interesting word, by the way. What is the taxing? Does it look like the IRS? Who'd be willing to look up at the Roman taxing? Again, this is part of understanding the story of the birth of Christ, because it actually all fits together. There isn't anything in God's Word. Nobody wants to study taxing, do they? All right, I've got Pat over here is willing to look at the taxing, and who else? I want one more to look up the taxing. Somebody. All right, Rita in the back. I've got the ladies on it. By the way, men, I'm ashamed. Right now I've got four lady volunteers and no men. You better step up really quick. When Cyrenius was governor, who knows about Cyrenius? All right, I need two volunteers. I'm going to do, now I got men now. Randy and Randy. I've got the Randy and Randy connection on this. And they're going to look up this when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Who brought up Syria? Where? Carmen, are you willing to look this up? And is somebody willing to look this up with Carmen? By the way, you know, a little bit, okay, back there to Becky. The Becky that's not a pope. Okay. Where is it and what is it? Like, we're going to have the city of David, Bethlehem. Where is the city of David? Why is it called the city of David? Bethlehem, what does that name mean? Joseph, we kind of know, went also up from Galilee. Where's Galilee? Galilee's not a city, it'd be considered a region. Do we have one person willing to do a little bit of research on Galilee? I spent time in Galilee. Okay. We've got Mrs. Lois Moyer. We'll do that. How about Nazareth? Who can, somebody looking up Nazareth. Do we have at least one volunteer to look up Nazareth? I'm only going to one just because our sake of time, our time's running out. Come on, I need some volunteers. We can do this. We can spend some time, Wendy, outside of Sunday school to learn to teach one another. Judea, unto Judea. How far is that? And where is Judea? Who's our volunteer for that? Some of you look out, you smile at me. Others of you are looking down. I tried that in school too, Butch. It doesn't work. Even though I look down, sometimes they volunteer. So who's going to look up Judea? Butch all of a sudden raises his hand. That works, Seth. I'm going to do what you said. I'm just going to go around and glare at people. Yeah. How about the city of David? This is fascinating. It's a great thing. All right, Brother Bob. Rob Weller. Do we have somebody else in the city of David? It is really fascinating. A great study. Seth would be willing to do that. I'm going to stop there. There are some other things. Maybe what does it mean to be a spouse? That would be a great study if someone has the time to do it. Circle that espoused down there. A espoused wife is already called a wife, though they hadn't come together. Verse 5. What are swaddling clothes? Here is a really interesting study. What does the manger look like? Probably no idea. I would say 90% of you have no idea what a manger is. We have the fixation in our mind, what we've been taught off of Christmas cards and manger scenes. What is an inn? Probably would blow your mind, David, what an inn is. Would you look down at verse number 16? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Wait. Is it the babe lying in a manger or all three of them lying in a manger? Did you ever stop and think about... See, you all just picture the little baby in there, don't you? Do you know what a manger is? Is a manger big enough for all three of them? Is that story saying that just the babe's lying in a manger? You say, what does it really matter? Well, that really doesn't matter. It's not going to make any doctrinal difference. But you can learn something about this story that you don't know. I would encourage you, even if you haven't raised your hand and volunteered, to spend some time looking through this. What is a heavenly host? That comes in verse number 13. Again, those shepherds keeping watch. What kind of shepherds were they? What do they do when they keep watch by night? You know, we know the story, but there's a lot of things we still don't know about the story. And I would say if it's true about the birth of Christ, it would be true about the Word of God. There's a lot of things that we know, but we really don't know it all. And so I want to encourage you to dig a little deeper. This is going to give us some interaction. We're going to be able to learn from one another. And we're going to bring out some new things next week. And looking forward, again, every one of us can learn from the Word of God. We don't need a high education to learn from it. And we're going to see that in the upcoming week. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Your Father.